let's sing that chorus, He's Lord, He's Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He's Lord. Amen. He's Lord. He's Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He's my Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Once more, He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He's my Lord. Every knee, yes, Lord, every knee, tongue confess, if they like it or not, Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord Jesus, we're just standing here this morning being thankful for what You have done for us, Lord. You are a great Jehovah. The mystery of Your word, Lord, is so great. The mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ is so great. Lord, give us strength to go on once one more service. And thank You, Lord, for giving us a place to worship. A place, Lord, that we have to cherish and love and take care of it, Lord. Lord, thank You for Your grace and mercy again. Lord, we appreciate what You have already done in the service. Keep us, Lord, meet all the needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have been listening to the tape. At night, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. This is a tape that you will never finish studying. I have the books in my briefcase, and the more I read it, the more I realize how little I know. You never come to the point to say, I know the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord's willing, by Wednesday, I will have the list of events up to February or January. All the activities, dates of communion, dates of gifts, and so on, so everybody will have a copy. Before I get to the service, Friday the 13th. I don't know what it means. Some people are superstitious, but I'll say it's another day that the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it. And I was reading, and three verses in two places struck me pretty hard. The first one was on Proverbs 13, the second, the third, and the fourth verse. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Think of that. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And also remember 13:13, two 13s. If you go to the 13th verse, he says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandments shall be rewarded. Now, I don't know if your Bible has a margin. Normally, under that word, rewarded, means have peace. It's a good definition of peace, isn't it? To obey the word of God. We are turmoil because of our lack of faith in the word of God. I was thinking about going today and try to walk in a Christian walk. And I was talking to somebody out of state, and we're talking about the trinity of evil. I believe there's a trinity of evil. Number one is the politicians, because they run the kingdom of Satan, you know. And you cannot make any good out of them. They are bad all the way, because they are the kings, they are the rulers, and they are running according to the mind of the devil. That's what they are doing. You know, you can't trust any party on any direction. Number two, I have to agree with Shakespeare, is the attorneys. Shakespeare said, kill all the lawyers and we'll have no problems. That's what he said. Kill all the lawyers and we'll have no problems. And the third one is the car dealers, or, I'm sorry to say that like that, or the psychiatrist. They will throw somebody out of the prison, and he's mentally well to be outside to kill somebody else, and he's not mentally well to stay inside for the innocent to be protected. That's where we live today. But the Lord knows all things. In all these things that you see, we need power. It's not the amount, you know, it's not the amount you try to do. It's the power to sustain you. And if we can tap in that power and say, Lord, I need that power to keep me in this hour that we are in Sodom. And even God delivered Lot out of his condition there in Sodom. The scripture teaches that he vexed his righteous soul daily. Just being in that place, it's a mess. Just being in Sodom, it's enough to drive you sick. That's all that it is. Now, when our Lord came here, we know that he gave them the commandments and he gave them the rules. And I was reading about the Jewish law, the Sanhedrin, and what they were doing, and what's the laws for these, what's the laws for 49 stripes, and what's the difference between 49 and 50, why they do this, why they do that. All these things, you study them, and you understand some things in the scriptures. But remember, there's no man that can fulfill the law. No man. We say we will. We say this with our carnal heart and say, yes, I'm going to do my best. But around the corner, you realize, and I realize, that we're going to make failures. And I always believe it's not the time that we fail. It's the power that raises us up and convicts us to go on. That's what I believe, always. And when you see the scriptures, he says it's easier for the harlots and all these people to enter the kingdom of God than the some of the other ones. Because God ordained it like that. So now, Christ knew the problem because he was the creator. He made each one of us, and he knew us from the beginning. He knew what we were going to face. Sometimes we rejoice in circumstances, but circumstances can change real quick. Nothing is stable, nothing will stand. And circumstances should never control us. It should be the word of God that controls us. Quite often, our minds and our mouth controls us instead of the Holy Spirit, and we pay for it. And then we have problems about it. Another tape that I have never finished is The Battle of the Mind, the greatest battle that was ever fought. Now, when our Lord left, he knew that he got some people that belonged to him. And he said, I haven't lost any of them. Did you notice the church member, the church goer, and the church this? Only, I'm not saying not to assemble ourselves. It will go so far, then after that, they deteriorate. And I was making my schedule for this fall, and I look at it and I says, what am I doing now? You know, is there one left somewhere that loves the Word instead of loving the entertainment of the Word? And you, the more you pray, the more you have behind your mind big questions. You're wondering, is the door closed? And we don't realize it. Is the day of Noah that the door was shut and no man can open it? Is the time of silence right now? All these things you cannot avoid from thinking them. And the more you read, the more you realize that there are so many things to study more. And I know that I'm giving only 2% of what I'm studying. I know that. But that's what I feel I should do. Now, God speaks in His Word and takes us and say, now, I want to take care of you. You're my son and you're my daughter. And I notice the parents, although whatever the children do, if they're disobedient or not, the parents want the children to go to school. They want to learn something. They realize there's a life ahead of them. And I never turn down anybody that wants to become better, as long as they keep their mind in the Lord. And the parents wants to do their best for them, and other people for other circumstances. But Christ now was ready to leave. And after the resurrection, He appeared to some people, and we know it was in different ways. And in Luke, the last chapter of Luke, I spoke about 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember exactly on that verse. It was the 44th verse, that this is the word that you speak, and always something in me that stirs me up when in the middle of the verse He says, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning Him. Always He goes back and said, what I said is going to happen in my word. You know, here tells you that Moses was the author of the Pentateuch. Whatever happens, with other words, I already said it. I prophesied, I used my anointed man, they have done my work, and now I'm coming to fulfill it. And after His fulfillment, we see the manifestations of His fulfillment and the revelation. But then our Lord, on the 49th verse, He says, and behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Everybody needs power, right? Everybody needs power. And you say, I'm not power hungry. I am power hungry for the Lord's power to fight the devil. The rest of them can interpret anything they want to. I try to study as much as I can the word power, and I read you a few lines, and then probably you can settle your mind of what we're talking about. Power is the possession of control or command over others or spirits. You know, others or spirits, because people sometimes have devils in them. You know that? Others or spirits. To have dominion, comma, authority, to have the legal ability over Satan and his works. The legal ability is taking the word of God and throw it out of his face that he's defeated. That's power. You know that? Given to a person by the Word of God on the basis of the conquering Christ. He conquered it, and because of that, now we're supposed to have power. And that power that we're talking about is not what sometimes people think, like we're going to see in the Ephesians. It's an inward power, and it's not a laughing thing. It's a serious thing. Because if you don't have it inside, it's going to catch up with you. I'm not talking about having a failure and stand up again and restore ourselves. I'm talking about people that they are content. The only thing they know, I'm going to shout a little bit, speak in tongues, and go out and Babylon. The whole thing is Babylon. But now he speaks here, he says, and behold, I send you the promise of the Father upon you. That word send you sounds like a past tense, but it's not a past tense. It's an aorist tense. Aorist tense means that it cannot be defined when he's going to do that. Orizo means control. Aoristos mean nobody has control. He knows when to do and what to do. You know? He knows exactly what to do. And now he tells them that promise, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go somewhere, to go over and tarry in Jerusalem. Now the word tarry means kathizome, who means to put someone to sit down or sit down for a board meeting. So there's a time that you sit down and wait there. Brother Bram spoke about that. In about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he says, people thought that people pray all the time. No, the scripture didn't say that. Go there and wait. Go there and tarry. Stay there. But you know, the expectation is there. Sometimes we think that if I don't repeat words, I'm lost. No, that's not it. God keeps you, not your words. You cannot keep yourself. Forget that part. So God now tells them that He will do something. He will send the promise. You say, Brother David, what is that promise that I'm going to expect? That word is epangelia. It's to make known, to give a command or a military order. He will give you a command. It's time for you that God is going to speak to you. And let me mention something there. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the more I read Acts 2, the more I see where God got me out from. Now, there are two aspects there. The ones that they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the ones that grieve the Spirit away from them. So when you grieve the Spirit away from you, don't think that the Spirit, you don't have it. God took its flight, Brother Branham, says the dove, and He's going to come back as soon as you clean that vessel. He deals with you and He says, do things right. So God now dealing here, He says, now what I'm going to do, that promise, that command that I'm going to send you is going to do something there. What's going to do? To undo. Now listen to that word and don't panic. Because I study these words, and I believe in every word that the Scripture says. Every word of it is true and nothing but the truth. Now, you say, what can I do? I believe in the diacritical marks on the top. I sit and practice myself to study the Odyssey, to go with the time, to see the sound, the phonetic sound there. Because there's phonetic sounds on every word. Phonetics has a lot to do the way the Bible was written. But in our language, the English language, we don't have that. He says, to endure with power. What's to endure with power? Listen to this. It means to sink. God says, now I want my bride to be able to enveil. Enthema is also the garment that you cover yourself completely. But here, the key word there is to sink somebody, like you sink somebody into the water, like a boat. When it sinks, goes at the bottom, right? But he's going to sink you, not to leave you there. It's an extensive work there. It's to cover up. That's a good process of the baptism. You know that? That you can take Acts 2:38. It's baptized in His name because you sink right in it. Nothing, you can't see anything. And God now uses that as a symbol. I remember in one of the meetings that we had at the house because of the refrigeration, Sister Gail says, I want to be baptized. I says, Gail, I mean, we have to fill up the tank at the church. He says, no, I want to do it now. I says, well, tell me what and I'll do it. He says, use the bathtub. I want to go under. Because when the Lord is dealing with you, He's dealing with you, period. You don't want to let it go. Oh, you say nothing happened to me tomorrow. Probably you passed the day that God was dealing with you. You can turn your back to it, and God will not deal with you anymore. God speaks with you. And then I recall the time that I baptized her, and I couldn't put her hand down before that. And all of a sudden, you know, I saw the most meeker thing going to the water. But I'm coming up. I said, don't worry, everything's okay. And praise the Lord. So baptism, I mean, when we talk about tarry until you're endued with power, he says, I will dip you into something. You will never be able to surface right away. I'm going to bring you up myself. God now gives a promise here. And he's God. He wants to fulfill it. And we're looking to meet the conditions. Say, God, what I must do. You know, you cannot talk like that to charismatics. The charismatics just praise God, I got it. Hallelujah. I'm talking about power. And that power, it's an inward power. If it manifests itself externally, God bless you, I love it. But it doesn't mean because you have lots of manifestation outside, you have anything inside. But never grieve the Spirit from shouting, screaming, and crying. Do it. You know, I've been throwing lots of dirt in my face that we have to shout, we have to do this and that. I said, go on. You do it. He said, well, what about me? I said, go ahead and do it. Nobody stop you. But God now, he speaks about, it's time for us. He says, I'm going to sink you into something. Listen here what he says. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem, a specific place, until, how long will it take? I don't know. We want sometimes the Holy Ghost, and if I didn't receive it the same day that I ask, the Lord doesn't love me. That's our definition. We run away. We have no patience at all. But God doesn't give a timetable here. He says, you go to Jerusalem and wait there. How long, Lord? It's none of your business. God deals with you. His Word deals with you. His Word tells you what to do. And you do it, and that's the responsibility of God to fulfill that promise. You know, people say, the Lord is coming soon. If they set a date and the Lord doesn't come, they fall into pieces. They spiritualize things. In the early 1900s, the Jehovah's Witnesses say, now Jesus is going to come midnight. They wear their white robes, they went up to the mountain, they waited. They waited, the Lord didn't come, and didn't know what to do with the people, so they told the people, the Lord came, but spiritually. But you know, we're going to see the Lord the way he was, walk here. He was spiritually. And then what led them to? To a spiritual resurrection. He says, the body of Jesus never, that's a Jehovah's Witness. The spirit of Jesus rose from the dead, but not the body. And then what they say, now the Spirit dwells in the watchtower to control and bring the world into peace. You'll never bring this world into peace without the Prince of Peace. If the Prince of Peace was here, it would have been peace. It's getting worse and worse and worse by the hour. Now God, of course, we understand the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we have to follow three areas. When you go home, study that area. The first thing that I would like for you, if you can read, is read the last chapter of Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke. This is the promises of what's going to happen. The second one, of course, is John, the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16. Now we're talking about power today, okay? Not muscle power, but the Holy Ghost power. The third thing is, we have to read Acts, the first and the second chapter. It's disgraceful to think what so-called Christianity has done today. They have some athletes, some wrestling people, standing up with their muscles, you know, and I'll do this and I'll do that, and you don't have a church. Probably that man doesn't have an ounce of men in him. The only thing is a bunch of muscle. That's all he is. You don't measure a man by his muscles or how many pounds he can lift or he was a wrestler. We're talking about the bride of Christ. If that's the criteria that they go today, there's something wrong. Oh, the power. Look, I'm going to break this brick and do that. What is that stuff? We left the reality of what power is and we resulted into the human element. And they can never come back. Because the people, that's what they train them to believe. What's the next show? You watch any time about the resurrection or the Christmas season. They call it Christmas. You watch camels and lambs and donkeys and horses and everything in the churches try to attract the people and the little kids. That's not the function of the church. The function of the church should have the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what each one of us is supposed to have. In prayer, waiting on God, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, we ask for prayer from one another when something happens. But preventative prayer, nobody wants to ask anymore. I'm good enough. I got a job. I got my money. I got a place to stay. I got a car. Who cares for it? I tell you what, is that how much you care? Is that how much God cares for you? And God now, in these three areas that I mentioned, all these events just didn't just happen. People think that just happened. No, it didn't just happen. It's prophecy being fulfilled. I always want sometimes to get to the day of Pentecost and take the 7 weeks of the feasts, make 49 days, and the 50th day is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost comes from the word pendicunda, who means 50. And why it was celebrated at this time. But God now always prepares, because he prophesied in the Old Testament about these things. Did you see what I mentioned a few minutes ago in the 44th verse there? He says that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Things must be fulfilled. But they were written there. It's a good study sometimes to take Pentecost from Genesis to Revelation all the way through. Because you can take the angel of the covenant, the Logos, and you find out that was Christ in the Old Testament. And you say, Brother David, I'm sitting now, I need that power. What am I supposed to do? Take a plane and go down to Jerusalem? No. Because the scripture teaches us that other people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that they were not even in Jerusalem. So location has nothing to do. You have to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, wherever you are. So what do? You take circumstances. We pray for one another. Sometimes we give counseling to one another. We try to have confidence in one another, to hear their problems, to do this and to do that, and we try to help the people. Now, I know this doesn't apply to everything. Some people will gossip you. I know that much. That's society under so-called spiritual ways. But there's nothing is going to fulfill anything unless we really come to the point to say, Lord, I need you. I need the Holy Ghost power. Now I want to sink in it so I can go any place I want to. I don't worry about anybody because I got something that's beyond this world. That sinking power that has been promised, he says, I will take you and I will sink you in that power. Don't you like that? What is it, Brother David? You lose your identity. It's not anymore your power, but it's God's power. The Jews were trying to fulfill the law. Sanhedrin and the rest of them were putting more laws and expanding the laws and expanding the penalties and all that stuff that were going on. And Paul comes, he says, I'm blameless to the law. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I have done all these things. But all these things is undone. There's no good, nothing good there. I want the power in me that fulfills the word instead of me trying to fulfill it. And I'm afraid sometimes we people, we heard a message and we try to fulfill the word by the power of the flesh and we know nothing about the spirit. I'll do it. I'll have long hair. I'll have a long dress. I'll do this. I'll do that. Men will do this. Women will do that. We go through all the formalities, but the question is, who is doing it? If we have been synced into the power of the promise of the Spirit of God should be keeping and fulfilling it. But we say, oh, we're all in the message, we're ready for the rapture. I beg your pardon. Without the Holy Ghost, nobody goes nowhere. It's a necessary thing to start stopping and think, say, now, here's the promise that he's going to sink me into something. And when you see weaknesses and so on, shake yourself up. You say, Lord, I believe I have it, but you are being grieved somewhere because I'm not good. You wrote that law in my heart, and now that law convicts me, but where's the power to fulfill it? Where is it? People don't want to be told anything. They say, I'll do that. I'm just as good as everybody else in the message. I don't doubt about all these formalities that they go through. From scriptural formalities, long hair and dress and so on, to the paganism, bell buckles and cowboy hats, all the way down. But I'm talking about who is trying to prove what? Who is fulfilling what? Do you have the Spirit of God fulfilling it, or the power of the flesh is doing things? That's what counts. Have I total surrender to Him? This is Lord. If you don't take care of me today, I'll be in trouble. If you give me strength to stand, I'll stand, but everything belongs to you. The strength to fulfill, to go on with you, you keep me. The scripture teaches us, submit your ways unto the Lord. And he shall direct your paths. You know what we do? We want to submit our ways to the Lord and we direct our paths. And we hit a dead end down there on the road. And then we say, what happened? I told the Lord early in the morning. I submit myself to him, but you didn't let him direct your paths. So now, looking at this power now, God says you go to Jerusalem. And there, when you go there, you wait there until you endue with power from on high. This has nothing to do with carnal manifestations. Has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with education, has nothing to do with school, has nothing to do with anything else but the power from high. I love that, don't you? I love that, you know? This includes everybody, educated or uneducated. Just believe in the power from high and go on from there. Throws out everything. You know, throws out all the stuff that sometimes we think we got. Throws them out. And the believer says, I want that birthright. I want the Holy Ghost no matter what the price is. But if I pray yesterday I didn't get it, I'm going to pray a little more today and I'm going to stay with it, believing that God is going to give it to me. And where do you stand upon that word? He says, Lord, I don't want an experience that I feel good and everybody says, praise the Lord, I spoke in tongues. I want you to sink me into that power, that's all. Isn't it beautiful to have that? I want you to sink me, just dip me in there, sink me right in it. I want to lose my identity completely. I want to have the identity of Jesus, that's all. Then everything bothers you. A word against a brother and a sister, a gossip, a talebearer will convict you. And the evidence, the Holy Ghost probably took its flight. So now God is dealing here, and he said this, all these events just didn't happen. Why? He says, look, Peter said, what is going on right here, you Jewish people, you should know better than that. You have been reading the scripts a long time. In Joel 2:28, he says, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and daughters and so on. And says, this is what you were reading. This is the fulfillment. What's the matter with you? But unless God opens the eyes of the people to see the necessity, they'll never get it. God deals with people. And his spirit will come in us and say, now listen, you are not in a spiritual state that you're supposed to be. Comes to me and says, David, you are not in the spiritual state that you're supposed to be. Then what do? Oh, I'm going to do this. Now, the first thing you have to remember, that dipping there into power loses all your identity, and it's Christ, and that I must die, must be crucified with Christ. Lord, I don't deserve anything but trouble. That's it. I'm coming to church, and I'm coming to church, and I said, Lord, I had it this week. I don't even know where to sit. I feel convicted in every pew. And you know what? I say, God bless you. Keep on going. God bless you. And stay with it until God dips you in that power of the Holy Ghost. So God now dealing with that. The disciples, of course, receive the promise of the scriptures, but without the fulfillment of the resurrection of Christ, that will happen. But when this happened, Jesus visits them. Although he spoke about that spirit, do you know that? Jesus spoke about that spirit, and if you go with me for a minute to the Gospel of John, first of all, in the 7th chapter of John, John 7, and the 39th verse, John 7, 39, he says on the 38th verse, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not not yet given, because the Jesus was not yet glorified. Somebody comes to you and he says, what do you mean you want to dip into? You know what I want to be dipped into? The resurrected power of Jesus Christ. That spirit now that you see, it has to happen after, when Jesus was glorified. And that spirit that was in Christ returns in the believer, and because he conquered in his flesh, that same spirit is in you to conquer in the world. That's how it works. Or people say, look, I can take you back to Abraham. I can take you to the time of Moses. I can take you to the time of Moses when he was right in the presence of God. But we're talking about what John 14 said, I will be in you. You see, the people confuse the doctrine between the Spirit will be upon you and in you. When we say in you, it's the power that controls the whole human nature. It takes you out of the Adamic nature and puts you in the place of Christ. And you go on, like Paul says, obey the flesh in Romans 7. But he said, who shall deliver me from it? So God now uses this means. He sent that commission to stay in Jerusalem till they were endued with power from on high. Just go there and do it. Now, what is the commandment that I'm getting? I'm getting that commandment that says this, be filled with the Spirit. And if you grieve the Spirit, Throw away what grieves it. And says, Lord, help me, because I want you. I make my choice. That's all that it is. God will give you the power to make that choice. And God now, the people on the day of Pentecost, have renounced utterly their ideas, themselves, in any form. I don't care what it is. If you ask today the average believer, are you willing to get the Holy Ghost and lose everything you have? They have a second thought that shows you're not ready. You're not ready. Oh, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost, but I want to have it the way I want it. So then you pray, you say, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. And God wants you to fill with the Spirit. And you say, now, Lord, if you do that, I want you to do that secretly, because I don't want to make a fool out of myself at the altar. God said, come unconditionally. Go and wait there. And he didn't tell them if they are going to act like drunk. He didn't tell them anything else but wait there in Jerusalem until you're filled with power. Sometimes I'm questioning, if we take the day of Pentecost, how many people can see the emotionalism that happened in the day of Pentecost, and they don't want the Holy Ghost in their hearts because they don't want to make a fool out of themselves. But you don't set any conditions with God, because God promised you the Spirit will fall upon all flesh, period. And you got a flesh, you're going to get it too. But you're a slave of Christ, God bless you. But still, when you get it, you're going to scream, I believe. I believe somewhere you're going to scream, somewhere you're going to cry, somewhere you're going to do something. I believe that. Now, God dealing with that, they wanted, waited in one accord, waiting for the power. Now, I imagine they were sitting there, and they were saying, Lord, give us that power. I'm taking hypothetically now. Somebody says, you know what? When we get that power, you know what we're going to do? Another brother says, brother, calm down. Calm down. He didn't tell you what the power is going to do. He's going to be a witness. You'll be a martyr. You have the strength to stand as a martyr. From the word martyro. Just calm down. Don't put a frame of what God is going to do. You know why? That power has to come inwardly to control outwardly and not outside to try to feel good inside. The Spirit has to do that. But let's look for a minute in the promises. Joel 2:28-29. He says, this is going to happen. This is the promise. I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And you can compare that with Acts 2:18-19. The fullness of the Holy Spirit baptism have been promised, remember, after, not before, after Christ was glorified, the resurrection. It's like the sacrifice of Abraham. At that time, they will take an animal. It's like a covenant when it was made. And they will take the animal and cut it exactly in two after they kill it. Take the blood, go through the whole thing, and then open it like that. And the two people that make the covenant, the two pieces are open like that, they will walk through the two pieces. And that was a vow that if I will fail that covenant, let my body be torn into two pieces. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Now, let's look for a minute before we close, we've got a few more minutes. In the book of Ephesians. Now we're studying about the Holy Ghost. And I think we need it, don't you? All of us, we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I think we're getting a little bit cold. Do you know that? We have to restore ourselves. And well, brother, I'll pray with you. But let me get to the Word and let's see where we go. Now in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, starting from the 16th verse, we're going to be studying three or four verses there. Speaks about the name of Christ, and then on the 15th verse says, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, remember, your name is Jesus. That's why the scripture says, after his name. May dwell in your hearts by faith that it be rooted and grounded in love. Where Christ is supposed to dwell? In your hearts. There's a dwelling place. People in the scripture don't want to accept the difference between dwelling and visiting. A visitation, we have it. The dwelling is another experience. You know what? When Christ dwells in us, that's, I can go to Ephesians and Colossians, so on, prove it to you. When Christ dwells in you, in that covenant, I will put my laws in their heart. He puts it there. Now it needs a spirit to quickening. But without the spirit and that power, you see the law of God in you and you fail it. Because probably the law was grieved for a short period of time. I grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you have been sealed. You have been engaged, that word is alone, until the day of your redemption. This is people of the bride have been engaged to Jesus and gives them the warning, don't do that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Who is going to pay? You and I pay for it. The pain of conviction is a terrible pain. Why? Because the law is in there, and the letter of the law condemns you and manifests that you fail. Now you see what Paul was speaking about, Romans 7, and Romans, especially Romans 6, he gets into must die and have been planted together in the likeness of his death, who shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, so on. You see, that law now tears you to pieces. But here he says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So he says, Lord, I want to look in there. But you know, that faith is in there in the Word of God, and you can't get away from it. There are people that will look at you. They will tell you, I know in my heart what's truth. I fail it, but I'm trusting in the grace of God. And Brother Branham said in one of the tapes this, he says, I love him in my heart. It is, even if he sends me to hell, I still love him. I believe God honors that. Do you know that? I believe God honors and will honor that. And he continues, says that may be able, he says, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. God promised now that our Christ, by faith, is going to dwell in me and in you. What about sometime you tell a little baby, a little boy, that just started understanding, do this. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to do it. Sometimes you tell him the wrong thing. Probably will do it. What about if we accept him right at his word? And he says, Lord, I want to go and have that dipping that you're talking about of the Holy Ghost in a way that I lost my identity and I trust in that power that every day that I walk, there's something that have been, somebody dipped me into it, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. How do I get it? Stay with it. How long? Wait in Jerusalem. There are people who receive the Holy Ghost when they lay their hands on. But these people have to wait. The promise was given. The 7 weeks, 49 days. Plus the Pentecost day. That was the feast of the weeks in the Old Testament. That's where it refers to Pentecost. The Pentecost is not something new in the New Testament. It was already in the Old Testament by prophecy. And God looks at these things. Let us not worry about the extent of noise. Get the emotional out of the way. If it happens, happens. How it's going to happen is none of my business. How loud is none of my business. All these things is none of my business. I want to get Jesus in my heart by faith. I want to be just sink into the power of God. And if I laugh and the rest of them are going to cry, let them cry, I'm going to laugh. Because God deals with you as an individual. And keep on doing that. The Word is so beautiful, you know that? The Word is so beautiful. God, now, let's take the Word of the Lord through Christ. And what happened? Let's ask Him to send the Spirit to dwell in us. Start practicing it. Get up in the mornings, Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. Have you ever get up in the morning before even you get up from bed and you say, Lord, I need you. Help me today. Just early in the morning. Whatever I need, Lord, give it to me. I don't even know what I need sometimes. Do you know that we frame God to tell Him what to give us, and we don't surrender to say, Lord, I need you. Whatever I need, anything you want to give me, you know what I need, give it to me. That's a good way to pray, without just saying, do this and do this for me. Because once you're in touch with God, you don't worry about anybody else. Look at Martin Luther, when he went all through the criticism at Oxford and the Catholic Church and all these things that were going on in Germany, Gutenberg area, and these things were going on and on and on. Brother Branham said, the miraculous thing is not that Martin Luther preached the truth, but was able to stand above the criticism and go on to God. Because he knew what happened inside in him. If you ever study something about Luther, study how God sent him to a monastery to become a monk. And his roommate in the monastery led him to Christ, the just shall live by faith. That's where he got it from, somebody else. God, of course, I know it's the Word, but God used that other man in the monastery, his roommate, and start talking to Luther about to be saved. He said to be saved in the monastery? I thought it was only saints there. There are lots of ain'ts there. So, Luther now comes out, goes on. The cardinals of these, the bishops of these, say, oh, so what? So what? Keeps on going with the Lord. Why? God gave him the power. God gave him the power of the Holy Ghost. Brother David, how long was that power? Listen to this. Brother Branham said this in one of the tapes, the older tapes. I remember that. He says, as long as you're building a building, you need a scaffold. And as long as there's a church, it needs the Holy Ghost. And progressively from the day of Pentecost all the way down, the promise that God sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, we are experiencing it in every church age. I never see it on any place that the Scripture said, now I'm going to stop sending the Holy Ghost until Brother Branham comes. I never seen that. And if you start talking to the people that believe in that doctrine, you'll find out they don't know what they're talking about. They don't even know that they got the Holy Ghost. They're make-believers. Because the Holy Ghost never stopped being at the church, although there were a few. I'd like to ask you something. When in the day of Pentecost, that promise of Luke was fulfilled, what was it? It was a promise that I'm going to sink you right into the power from high. Do you know of any other power that kept the martyrs from putting their neck like that, says, kill us, or Stephen, to say, I see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God? This is the power of the Holy Ghost all the way through the churches. Now, sometimes you have few people, sometimes you have more. But God permits us things. I have some friends that are well-known people, and he said to me, what is that message? I said, the message is written on the Scriptures. Just tell me something about it. I said, what is the message I believe is this? God said in Azusa Street, the outpouring of the Spirit. And then they took it, they placed it on the flesh, and now the message tried to restore you back, the Word and the Spirit together in your heart. But you want the Spirit. As long as, you know, you see the pictures in the magazines, you get it, the brochures. You know, they have a meeting, and everybody raised their hands and praised God, and that's an evidence of the Holy Ghost. Who said so? Who said so? I mean, I don't understand these things. I believe in raise your hands. I believe in crying. But you look at the audience, and you know what's going on. You know, some of these guys with shorts and all that stuff going on. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a necessity. You look at your life and you say, Lord, I want to be, the Spirit can be so burning in me. I like the word revival in the Scriptures. Anazopiros, Peter is fire. Anazopiros, I'm renewing the fire. I like that. Renewing the fire that's in me. And everything has to come back to the Scriptures. You know? People don't like these things. Oh, if you can just shout for a while, we got it. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying, shout, but better make sure you got the right word in your heart. And if we stop shouting, there's something wrong with us. Never hesitate to say, praise the Lord, scream out. Because God is God. That's part of the word. But to substitute that for the word, I'll say you need to get saved. That's what it is. So, if you want to read a little more, probably I will be continuing on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, taking some instances of the book of Acts, Cornelius and so on. And we'll have to see some things there. And I know the Lord probably might be talking to us. Because young people, I appreciate you. I mean, you see these young people. You see Mia, you see Sylvia, you see all of them, you know. And you are happy to see them coming to church. You're happy. But you know, behind your mind always, you know this, unless they get saved and the Holy Ghost fills them, the watchman watcheth, but in vain, unless the Lord keeps the city. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman watcheth, but in vain. It takes God, okay? Let's sing again that chorus. He's Lord, He's Lord. And I'd like to ask Cordell. Cordell, would you come here to close us in a word of prayer, brother? Come on, with all your heart. Sometimes a little child can reach God so quickly. You know that? Come on, Cordell. Let's sing He's Lord. Let's stand. He's Lord. He's Lord. He has arisen from the dead, and He is Lord. Lord, bless Cordell. Every knee shall bow, every tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. For your heart. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that You would keep us all this day, Lord. We just pray that You would show us the right way to go, Lord. We just pray that You'd keep everybody as they take their trips home, Lord. We just pray that You'd give them the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Just show them the right way. Lead all of us, Lord. Just keep us little ones and keep the grown ones, Lord. Just show them the right way and teach them. Keep them as they go on in their world, Lord. We just pray that You'd show all of us the great things that we need to learn, Lord. We just pray In your precious name, Lord, in your holy name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Cordell. Thank you, brother. May be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.